Before I offer the collect of the day and read today's scriptures, I want to share something with you that I experienced over the weekend. I was in the Woodlands, Texas, attending a conference there. And Bishop Clark Lowenfeld of the Anglican Diocese of the Diocese of the Gulf, the Western Gulf Coast, he said this in advance, in one of the services, in advance of the hearing of the scriptures. He says, you know, what people need to realize is the reading of scripture in church is not some formality or some ceremonial thing that we have to kind of check off a box. We have to remember the scriptures are read because it is the scriptures that contain Jesus Christ, and therefore the scriptures contain the power to change lives. That's, folks, that's huge. So as we prepare to hear from God's holy word this morning, let us invoke his blessing and let us hear this morning these scriptures, inviting the Holy Spirit that lives within us to change our hearts and to outwardly change our lives as we hear them. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly, and even now as we live among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Our first lesson this morning is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. We're in the 6th chapter. Hear these words. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Psalter appointed for this Sunday is from the 119th Psalm. Together, let us pray the word of the Lord.
Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And blessed are those who keep the statutes, who do no wrong. Oh, that my ways were steadfast, and obeying your decrees, when I consider all your I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees, not utterly forsaken. How can a young person stay on a path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from my mouth. rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Hear the word of the Lord. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Our second lesson this morning comes to us from the epistle written to the Hebrew people in the 7th chapter. Hear these words. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins and then for the sins of his people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite all who are able to rise this morning for the reading of our holy gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David?" David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we hear your powerful word this morning. May your Holy Spirit not only move amongst us, but be felt amongst us moving, that we understand just how powerful your word can be in our lives, that it is sufficient for all knowledge of salvation, and that it can truly change our lives and the lives of this world. Be with us this morning as I proclaim the good news in the words that you have given me to speak. Bless those words, bless the meditations of each of our hearts, and bless us, Lord, as we come forward this morning to experience your Son, Christ Jesus, our Savior. and the sacrament of the table. And in his name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen. Please be seated. This is a Hebrew term. It's pronounced Shema, S-H-E-M-A is the way it gets translated or transliterated from the old language to ours, Shema. And it's a reference to what we heard both in the Old Testament reading this morning and in the New Testament. And it's that famous prayer. And to this day, devout Jews will pray this prayer constantly during the day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The one true God of the Jewish people, the God of Abraham, Isaac. Somebody help me out. Jacob. I'm sorry, I got stuck there. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, and therefore our God is one. Now we have as Christians this mystery that we call the Holy Trinity. The three persons of God, but in one Godhead, three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because I want to talk to you about some quote-unquote greats today. One of those greats is this great commandment that we heard Jesus talking about in Mark's gospel account in Mark 12. He says, after being queried by somebody in the crowd, he says, what's the greatest commandment? Now, this is being asked of Jesus as a setup to try to make him stumble. Yet, we get the true impression when we hear that story, the entire story contextually, that the person that he's interacting with actually has a change of heart, the power to change his life through coming to Jesus Christ and listening to what he says. Because Jesus says these words, he says, here's the answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus is doing what? He's answering using the word of God. He's reciting the Hebrew scripture back to this person. And then he says something else. He basically says, but it doesn't end there. You have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love God, love your neighbor. And Jesus calls that not the greatest commandments, the greatest commandment. Two things there wrapped into one, kind of like that mystery of the Holy Trinity, the Godhead three in one. Jesus also gives us something that we call the Great Commission. Commissions his body. He commissions the church. This is what we are to do. We hear it in Matthew's gospel account in the 28th chapter. Jesus says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and he gives us that Trinitarian formula right there, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What did he command them? Let's go back to the great commandment. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the great commandment. What is the great commission? Go out, make disciples. Baptize them into the body of Christ in the formula of the Holy Trinity. But there's also something that Scripture gives us, complements of Luke's writings in Acts. This is the brand new baby Christian church on earth. Luke does a great job of telling us the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations of the new Christian church in the book of Acts. And in the second chapter, he gives us what I call the great blueprint for the church. And I think, personally, and I think you may probably agree with me on this, the church, in quotes, particularly the Western church, the American so-called Christian, has gotten away from this blueprint that the Bible gives us. And I had this realization about a year ago. Well, honestly, I had it longer ago than that. It was about a year ago that God gave me Acts 2:42 and said, "You bet, dummy. It's right there in my word." And it was about a year ago that this church here, this congregation, made a decision as a body that we needed to step out of fellowship with an organization that we did not feel stood for this word any longer. And during that time of prayer and discernment, this is what God gave me. He gave me Acts 2:42, and I was moved that once I had to get new business cards created that didn't have the old affiliation on it, I put it on the back, Acts 2:42. Let me read it to you. This is a blueprint of the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And I've continued to meditate on that. I've continued to actually research that. You go back to the original languages, and whenever I get some new cards made, I'm going to correct it. It's plural at the end there. It's not prayer. They devoted themselves to the prayers. And that's really subtle, but it's important, because the early church had something that we now in seminary and amongst intellectuals and people who study this stuff and are considered church geeks, it's called the Didache. But the problem with that being in the hands of the intellectual and the seminaries and the geeks who study this stuff is it's not been put in the hands of the pew sitter. And so we don't know that. The Didache. It was there from the beginning. It's in essence, it's a liturgy that the early Christian church used. And they had a formulary of prayers that they prayed each time they get together. And it's there. It's in the ancient languages. And it's scriptural. It's the psalmody. It's the Psalter. It's the Lord's Prayer that Christ gives us in the Sermon on the Mount. And they developed their own prayers in that first and second century. And we started using one on a regular basis about a year ago, the Gloria. Because the ancient church has done that from the beginning. And if it was good enough for those folks who walked with Jesus Christ, who were forming that church 2,000 years ago, then by golly, we need to be looking to see what else has the devil robbed us of. Because I'm going to tell you what. In the American church, Satan's alive and well. We have gotten so far off track from what Christ's church is supposed to be. We don't understand this blueprint. Devotion, the first key word there, they devoted themselves. This wasn't casual. It wasn't when I feel like coming to worship. The truth of the matter is, most of these cats weren't Gentiles like Luke, who's writing this. They were Jews. Jesus, also a Jew. So the devotion wasn't just a once when I feel like it or even a weekly thing. It was a daily thing. Devoting oneself to the prayers daily. But in America, it's hard for us to get up and come to church at 8:30 or 10 o'clock on a Sunday every week. Because we got a rough life. Yeah, I'm being a little sarcastic. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. What is that? It's right here. Everything the apostles were teaching, that's what the gospels are. That's what Luke gives us a picture of in Acts when the early church is forming, what the apostles were teaching. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And they were doing it. They devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to fellowship. You know how we do that? In today's modern Christian church, sometimes we'll come if something's happening at church afterwards. Oh, you know what? They're having potluck. I might come this Sunday. That sounds good. Or We may come around church only for the fun stuff, only for the fellowship, and we don't worry about the worship side or the mission side or the ministry side. But by golly, we're going to be there for that meeting. And we're going to let our voice be heard because we have an opinion on things. Or we like gumbo or spaghetti or whatever the case may be. See, we're not told here by Luke that the early church devoted themselves to one or two of these things. All four of them, the apostles' teachings, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, and the prayers of the church. I think we need to continue to meditate on that here at Good Shepherd and continue to strive to be that church that the Bible gives us a blueprint of. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. God has given us the blueprint. We need to continue to attempt to execute it as best we can, because otherwise we're going to continue to fall prey to something I think we have fallen prey to at Good Shepherd, and throughout the entire Western church, folks have fallen prey to this. I call it the great omission. We omit one or more of those four things that the Bible tells us the church is there to do. Well, we don't like praying. We just want to hear good music. Well, then go to a concert. Don't call yourself a Christian. We don't like all that Bible study stuff. You know, sometimes that guy gets up there and he talks and he talks and he talks and he just goes off on rants. Well, I'm sorry. Let me tell you this. If you're coming to church for me, I'd rather you step back and think about that for a moment. And I'll help you find a church that's got a better version of me, because there's a lot better pastors out there than Randall Graff. Or if you don't like me, then I'll give you this. Pray for me. Because this is not the greatest job on earth in certain aspects. I'm almost hesitant to say that because I actually do think it's one of the greatest jobs I've ever had. My point is, it's not the easiest thing to do what you have called me to do. So if you don't like me, pray for me. Pray that the Lord can change me. And in your prayer, if you find out it's not something that I'm doing, it's something that you're aggravated with God, then, well, take that up with God. Devote yourself to prayer and figure that part out. We cannot be a church of the great omission. That's where I'm going this morning, folks. We cannot be a church of the great omission. We have got to look to this book to be the life-changing blueprint that God has intended it to be. It's just that simple. I am not one who says that we can't have innovations in the church. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have electricity. God bless us, we have electricity, so we can have lights. We have candles, too. Why? Because there's something about that that reminds us of our connection to that ancient church. That the symbolism of lighting the candle to wash away the darkness by the light of God coming into our lives in worship, that's important, so we hang on to that. I don't believe that innovation is a bad thing. If you happen to think it is and we need to be exactly like that early church, God bless you when August rolls around again and we don't have air conditioning. I think God has given us some comforts. I don't think God has called us to have smoke machines and light shows with rock and roll bands. God bless the churches that have decided to do that. I was involved in a church for several years as one of those musicians. I don't think that that's what God has in mind when we look at the blueprint that he's given us in the Bible. When we look at the Great Commission, we're to love the Lord our God, we're to love our neighbor, I'm sorry, the Great Commandment, love the Lord your God, love our neighbors as ourselves. We're going to love God by following his word and by worshiping him. About the only way we can first love our neighbor is to love them enough to bring them to God. And that's about the only way we're going to grow this thing that we call the body of Christ at 5122 West Esplanade. We have to go out into the world. We have to bring our neighbors in because we love them enough. We have to be bold enough to actually stand up to them, look them in the eye, and say, yeah, church membership is an important thing. It's in the Bible. Oh, I hear you. It's great that you're spiritual but not religious. Wonderful. What does that even mean other than you've made an excuse not to worship in community? So that's my challenge that I see before us as the body of Christ at 5122 West Esplanade. We either take it on, or we can go the way of Europe, where churches are regularly being sold off and turned into mosques. Let's rise, let's pray. Let's confess our faith in the triune God as it's been given to us in the ancient Apostles' Creed. We pray together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. My brothers and sisters, let us offer our petitions for the church and for the world this morning. I invite you to respond, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for instituting that which we call the body of Christ. Bless each and every member who is here with us today. By the strength of your Holy Spirit, Lord, call those who should be here and need to be here. And bless the church militant universal throughout our world, even today, as some will be persecuted for their faith in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless this world that we live in. Darkness is upon the land, war ravages, threats of war ravage, Lord, but we place our faith and our trust in you, the God of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember all of those, particularly on our prayer list, who are so in need of your comforting touch, those who are in need of healing, those who are expressing their prayers of thanksgiving because something has happened and they want to give glory to you alone, God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in a place where we collect those names and those causes and we offer them as petitions before you. Bless those that are on our church prayer list. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless the youth of this church and the youth of this nation. Lord, you know in my own prayer time, I've reflected that things seem lost, particularly in my generation, but we can win this for you, Lord, and it's not going to happen, unfortunately, with the people in the age brackets that's represented right now at this service. So, Lord, help us to reach the next generation so that this world will not continue on the trajectory of the devil himself, the deceiver, that we can win souls for Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We take this opportunity to add our own special intentions to our Lord silently this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you've heard the prayers of your children offered as petitions this morning, prayers offered aloud from our lips, as well as prayers offered from the lips of our hearts silently heavenward to you. We thank you, Lord, for the great mediator, that sits at your right hand, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.